And welcome to another episode of the Doster and Deshaun podcast. It is Thursday night, March 11th. You know this because you are watching us on a live stream. If you are listening to us on a podcast, how are you guys doing? It's nice to see you. We're letting the chat fill up a little bit as we kind of vamp right here. Deshaun, how are you doing, sir? How's your championship week going so far? It was pretty wild today. We had some good hoop.
We had some great basketball. I would say a good bit of it. There were some I didn't enjoy, but for the most part,
was it one of the early tips that you didn't enjoy, like a game that maybe tipped off at like 11:30 this morning?
Possibly, but that's neither here nor there. I saw some great basketball all day today, so you know I can't complain.
We're going to talk about that game because like I love everything about West Virginia and Oklahoma State right now. So we're definitely going to talk about that. Put a pin in that. We have to talk about Duke getting knocked out. We have to talk about the fact that UConn is very clearly going to go on and win the national title. I've been trying to tell you guys this. Not happening. Oh my goodness. And we got to talk about what happened a year ago to the day, where you were, kind of what your experience was, your memories was, because I think it's worth doing that. But before we do all of these things, Deshaun, this is the Beers and Ball podcast.
Yes, it is.
We have beers. We're going to talk ball. So I'm gonna let you do the honors first before I introduce my my cerveza over here. So what are you drinking? What are you sipping on over there?
All right. So the people that normally watch, you already know what I'm drinking. This is my Old Faithful Left. This beauty, this blonde beauty right here, is what usually gets me by when I'm sitting in the house watching basketball. So I have a nice Left tonight.
There you go. All right,
Rob yourself, because I saw that I saw the outside of that, and I was curious what that was. It's the first I've ever seen it.
So it's called Impact Wrench. It's from Industrial Arts Brewing Company. I've never heard of it before. Never seen it before. Never tried it before. I've never heard of this this brewery before. So if you're in the chat and you're watching and you've heard of these guys before, like please let me know.
Please.
It's called Impact Wrench from Industrial Arts Brewery. It's a triple IPA, a triple IPA.
It's not a competition. Anyway, it's not a competition. This is what people are saying with less.
It's an ABV. The beer's as big as my head, so you know that by the end of this, we might be getting weird on this this live stream at the end.
If I have to be the guy that rings us in, then we're in trouble. So
we're good. You're never gonna have to rein me in, Deshaun. Never have to rein me. All right. So obviously 1 year ago today was the day that we found out that Rudy Gobert tested positive for the coronavirus after he did that thing where he was in a press conference and he coughed and touched all the microphones for all the reporters. And that was the same night that Fred Hoiberg on the sideline of the Nebraska-Indiana game was very, very clearly really sick. And it was something where it became this huge issue. He ended up only like having the flu or something like that, but it was
Completely off of the COVID topic. Yeah, he had something else.
And then Tom Hanks tested positive, and the next day is when everything really shut down. So I'll tell my story after, but tell me about like where were you, what happened, how did you find out, like what were you doing at the time? Take me through it all.
Well, I was still in season, and we saw. Obviously, we all joked about the Rudy Gobert thing. Obviously, not knowing how serious COVID was because of how much the downplay was. I felt like it was a big downplay about it. From just regular people, not the news or any doctors or anything like that, but just like the everyday person, it was kind of downplayed. It wasn't really talked about as much. And then we saw the NBA shut down, and then we saw college shut down, and then we just knew like our season was getting ready to be up or in quicker than it usually would. So I would say maybe like 3 or 4 days after that, our season came to a halt and guys went home. So, you know, that was like just like it ended there. Everyone's season. My season ended really early as well.
Did you fly back? Like, how did that work?
Yeah.
Were you wearing like one of your hazmat suits?
Yeah. So like my wife was basically like, yeah, you need to like get a mask. You need to wear some gloves. So like I was in the airport, like one of the only people in the airport with like masks and gloves on. there were people like, and not to mention, you hear about this like the coronavirus and anything like that, and you're like, you're already cautious about people being near you. People are in the airport coughing and sneezing, and I'm just like, it's the most miserable I've probably been, like, just sitting there wondering, like, oh, does this person have it? Does this person, like, because I didn't know what it was, and I didn't know, like, you know, there are people apparently dying from it. It was, at the time, Italy was going through it, like, worse than anybody has, and people were, like, locked in their, like, in their apartments, and the cities were locked down and stuff, so, like, that's all I had as a view of it, like, you know, that was my point of view from, of it from afar, so, you know, it was pretty a miserable time. And then not to mention, I had to do a 2-week quarantine when I got back home. Ooh. So I like stayed in my basement with my kids are like upstairs and stuff. Like it was a hell of a summer to say the least. But yeah, that was kind of how my season ended and how my year kind of ended.
So when all of this stuff was first happening, this was when I'd started filming a show. Every Sunday night, I would fly to Chicago to do the stadium College Hoops Insider show live on set. And we would record it on Monday. It would air Monday night. And I would fly back on Monday. And so I was on to at least 2 flights every week if I wasn't going somewhere else. And the day that I flew back, I remember it, was March 8th. I flew because it was my daughter's birthday. And I had to fly for the last show out to Chicago. So I left like that night, got on a flight. And I just remember like progressively the flights got emptier and emptier and emptier. Like it started when I was first going, everyone, like there were packed flights. No one cared. This was like in late January. No one cared. Like no one was worried. It was all stuff that was happening, on the other side of the world, but slowly, but surely like there were fewer people on the flights and fewer people on the flights. And then the last one that I took, it was, there were like 10 people on a 747. Like I wasn't just the only one in my row, but I was the only one in my section on either side. There was no one within like 3 seats anywhere around me. I was like, yeah, you know, this might be kind of a big deal. And I get back on Monday night, March 9th. March 10th was a Tuesday. And then March 11th was the Wednesday when all the Rudy Gobert stuff happened. That Thursday, mm-hmm. I was supposed to be in studio for NBC Sports to do the national broadcast for them at halftimes and in between games for the Atlantic 10 tournament, which is like a huge opportunity, right? That's exactly. That's the break right there. That's the big break. So I get there and for the first day to work, and they're like, you can't shake anyone's hand. Don't touch anyone. Have all this hand sanitizer. And the whole time, because the night before, it had just been announced they weren't going to have any fans at any of these tournaments.
Exactly.
And the whole time, like, we're just sitting there, and I'm texting with coaches, and I'm texting with other media people, and I'm texting with administrators, and I'm texting with conference officials, and I'm just texting with people like what are we doing? Like, we're not – there's no way we're playing. The NBA had shut down, right? There's no way that they're having the college, the conference tournaments if the NBA is shut down. So we're sitting there waiting, and nothing has happened. Nothing has broken. Nothing has changed. We're supposed to go live at noon. It's 11:45. And that's when I get the text from somebody in the American Athletic Conference, and they're like, we're canceling the tournament. Season's done. Mm-hmm. And that at the same time, I get the notification that like there's a tweet going out from someone saying the SEC tournament is done. They're canceling. They're done. And then it was just like a cascading flow of people that had canceled. And it was – I just remember it being so surreal because I'm sitting there on set live on TV, and all we're seeing are like these video clips of players warming up, getting the word that their season's done. And some of them are tears. You have seniors that are never going to be able to play college basketball again, like going and crying and hugging their parents. You see all of these people like without masks on. And now I'm just like, oh, how are you so close to someone without wearing a mask? And it was just a different time. Like we just had no idea, absolutely no idea what was going to happen. So we sat there for an hour and a half straight live. We didn't have a single commercial break, an hour and a half straight live, just talking about what had just happened. What did we had just seen, getting certain people live on the broadcast, getting certain clips in there. It was like an hour and a half news segment. And then I was done and they were like, all right, you can go home. I was supposed to be there for 2 days.
Exactly.
Right? I was supposed to be there for 2 days. And five months later, I got laid off. It actually, for a while, like I had trouble dealing with it because it, like, it really fucked me up. It was like, okay, this is your chance. You are breaking. This is your career is going to skyrocket from here. and then it's fucking done. And then they're like 4 months later, like, yeah, you know what? You're fired. See ya. Fuck you. And I was like, come on, man. How about that?
Like the timing of all that stuff was like insane. I mean, it literally changed a lot of people's lives and it changed a lot of things that they had going on. And obviously both of us in a sense. So like, and you look a year later and here we are doing pretty damn good. So
yeah, it's always a little, not bad, man.
It's always a little positive to the end of the year. That's good.
Yeah. And honestly, like I might get a little sentimental here, but I needed that to happen. For me, like I needed to a change because I didn't like what I was doing anymore. Like grinding out the same shit, you do the same thing over and over and over again for 5 or 6 years, and you're gonna be sick of it. Like I wanted something new, and I tried to get other jobs, I couldn't get them, and I guess all it took was just like getting fired. Like I knew eventually, in the way that this business is headed, I was probably gonna have to go out and do something on my own if I didn't want to just kind of end like for the rest of my life be like writing blogs and. Doing recaps and spending every single Saturday for the rest of my life in front of a TV from 12 o'clock until 2 a.m. So I knew I was probably like, that's the only way, you know, like I'm not a former player. There's only a certain level of access you can get if you don't have a company funding your travel all over the place. So it was kind of like, it was what it was. So I knew eventually I was probably gonna have to start my own thing. And then finally this pandemic came about and they were like, yeah, you know what? You're done. So, all right, now is as good of a chance as any. And it's actually worked out well. Like, this thing has been significantly more successful than I thought it was going to end up being, despite the fact that I've had to spend 2 hours every week talking to you.
I mean, I'm so sorry, but I've been having a good time just looking at myself in this little box right here. So, while you're talking, I'm usually just looking at myself, enjoying my commentary. So don't beat yourself.
Just trying to make sure that you're looking good. Like beer,
trying to check my beer. Yeah, just from every couple of moments or so.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy that it's been this long. Like, I did not expect that it would be this long.
Nah, honestly, me at all. Me as well. Excuse me. Like, I really felt like, man, January will come around and things will possibly be getting off to a better start. Like, obviously, because it's a new year, I'm thinking, all right, things will get off a little bit better and things will start to, I want to say open up, but be a little bit more lax. And when that didn't come and I was, man, you probably know, it's like you get antsy when you're just sitting at home, like not with your own thoughts. So,
well, honestly, like I never had the chance to do that. Because I got two kids. Like I spent the whole time, like the entire time that everything was shut down and the kids couldn't go to school. Like I was, my wife was still working. She was in the, like she's got her whole setup over there. So she was working like 9 to 5, 10 to 4, something like that. So I was just hanging out with the kids all day. And I'll tell you what, that was a draining experience. I have so much respect for our teachers and our daycare workers and the childcare workers like that. Yeah. Woo, buddy, that was a lot of work.
It's a different experience.
we were actually really lucky though because our neighborhood, we got a it's not really a cul-de-sac, but it's like a big loop, right?
Yeah.
And there's five other families with kids my son's age, and all we did the entire summer was just ride bikes around in a circle. Or going like there's a pond down the street, and we would go throw rocks into the pond, or go on like the little neighborhood playground. Because not like two of them were immunocompromised, and all of them were working from home, and like we kind of joined forces on like trips to the grocery store and stuff. So like we just had our little pod, and no one did anything with anybody else, and we just rode bikes around the whole. It took my son like a week and a half to learn how to ride his bike. It was crazy,
but he got it.
No, I'm saying like that's good. Like, normally it takes kids longer than that to figure it out. Like when you're out there on a bike for 6 hours a day, like you're
gonna figure it out. You're gonna figure it out.
So
that's wild. By default.
and I will say this about today, because this was the first time it really felt like, I know it's been March for a while. We've had tournaments going on for a while, but like this was the first day that it really felt like March, because we had. It was 11:30 a.m. and we had West Virginia tipping off against Oklahoma State, a battle like two top 15 teams, a great game that turned out to be awesome. And that happened at the same time that we had Syracuse, Virginia going on. That was a great game. Kentucky Mississippi State was a I don't know if that was a great game, but it was a close game.
It was a close game, man.
Georgetown knocked off Villanova, so like that was the first time today that it was like man, okay,
we had Patrick Ewing talking a little shit. I loved it.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
It really felt like today, and I swear to God, like you tell me if I'm wrong on this day, and anyone listening, tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah,
today was the first day that it really felt like okay, we're kind of getting through this. Like we can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Like this, like we're it took a long time, but like we got the vaccine. My wife got both her shots. Everyone in my family's got them. My mom, my aunts, my grandmother, my wife's parents. Everyone's got their shots. Like we're getting close to being on the other side of this thing. And it just, I don't know. Today felt today felt really, really good for that reason.
I'm not gonna lie. Like as soon as the game started at 11:30, my wife texted me because she was watching the game while she was working at the same time. Like because we're here, everybody's gonna watch the game. We're gonna watch our Mountaineers. And a lot of you not like she's just like, yo, this is gonna be an awesome day. This is gonna be basketball all day. And I just literally thought about it. I was like, yeah, this is the first time I actually got a chance to like. I mean, you get to watch basketball all day throughout the season. On the weekends and stuff like that, but like during the week and you know it's tournament time coming up and teams are like pressed to making the tournament and this is the most important time of the year. Like today was an awesome day of watching just basketball.
It was so much fun. And I'll tell you this much, it hasn't stopped either. Like as we're recording this, Texas and Texas Tech are about to go to halftime. North Carolina pulled off a huge comeback against Virginia. You could see
which I didn't think was going to happen. Which I did not think was going to happen
over here because I got them both on the TV and then I got the UConn game going on the computer monitor I have over here. So it's like we got multiple screens, we got multiple games. March is back.
We did say here you go. We did say it was a good it was a great day. I'm not going to lie to you. I was kind of I hate to say this because I know people are going to probably hear this. I was sad that Duke season ended the way it did.
Me too.
I didn't want Duke season to end that way. I would rather them like play their season out and whatever they get, they get. I wasn't expecting Duke season to end this way. It didn't make me feel that good because I'd rather have watched them play and see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, I'm the same way, man. Like all these kids – at the end, of, like I found it very hard to hate any teams this year. And generally speaking, I don't really hate any teams. The only teams I hate are the teams that don't cover. But I find it like I want every team to have success. Like with all the knowing, like that these kids are going through the same things that we are in terms of just kind of like with their life. I want them to have success, and I want them to be able to experience that. I want them to at least have a shot. Like the one thing that I took away from the Kentucky game. Was that those dudes were still fighting down this, like maybe they didn't have the five that you wanted and maybe they didn't always give the effort that you were expecting out of a Kentucky team and they certainly were not as talented as we thought they were, but like in their last game of the season playing for basically nothing, they erased like a 20-point halftime deficit or 20-point second half deficit and had a great shot to win at the end.
Yeah, you know? Like you said, they're fighting for their opportunity to play, and that's the thing that sucks because it's just like Duke didn't get a chance to fight for their season to end that way. So, like, I mean, they did what somebody just noticed that Jamita just said Duke won their last game of the season. But, like, it still sucks because they didn't get a chance to, like, finish it out, similar to the way we want everyone else to finish their season out.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just them. Like, NCAA&T, after them, like, they won – the MEAC, they were the number one seed in the MEAC tournament, and they had a positive test, and they won't be playing. Like that sucks, man. Like it is what it is. Like there's nothing you can really do about it, but it's true. Sucks. Feel bad for them. All right, let's talk about your Mountaineers. What happened?
I mean, what do you mean? What happened? It's pretty obvious. We gave up 72 points to Kate Cunningham, and Ice Likely did come back and play. At the end of the day, I thought we had a chance to win the game. We're an extra pump fake away from getting a shot up to possibly tie the game with one of our best shooters. He could have pump faked one less time, but I was upset about certain things during the game, but as far as their effort and everything else, I was not upset with my Mountaineers. Their effort was better than the last time I watched them play. They were working their tails off. They just, I feel like defensively is just some things just transition-wise, and in the half court, they just got some things they need to iron out.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. My bad.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, like, that was a great game, like a great basketball game to watch, and it was back and forth, and someone has to lose those games. And if you're Oklahoma State, like, you're going to feel very frustrated about losing that game. If you're West Virginia, you should feel very frustrated about losing that game. And that's just kind of the nature of March. Like, it's the quarterfinals of the Big 12 tournament. You have two top 15 teams playing each other. What can you do? That's March. All right. So what we're going to do for this, we're going to be bouncing around a little bit. Like, neither Dan and I really had a plan for this because there's just so much going on. So if you have any questions or any topics or anything that you want us to talk about, just drop them in the chat. We'll bring it up on screen and we'll talk about that. So your boy, Jamito, I hope we pronounce that the right way. How do we feel about Nova going into the tourney? Can they make it to the second weekend? I do not believe that they can without Colin Gillespie. And I'm going to be very, very interested to see what the committee decides to do with where they put him as a seed. Because they've never really quite hit a stride this season. It feels like that they've gotten close to being able to find like a rhythm and be the team that we expected them to be. Something happened. Another pause. They have an injury. Someone goes down. Like, it was kind of stuff. Yeah. Like Villanova and Louisville to a point, like both kind of had one of those years where it was like, okay, like we're still waiting for you to find a way to get it going. And the reason why I say it'll be interesting to see where they get seated is that Villanova right now, 3-3 against quadrant one opponents, 8-6 against the top two quadrants. They have a loss to Georgetown on the neutral court. They lost at Butler. They lost at Providence. Their best wins are at Texas, which doesn't look quite as good as it did earlier on the season. Creighton at home and Seton Hall on the road. Those are their best wins. They also beat UConn at home, but UConn is not top 30 in the net right now, so that's not a quadrant one win. That could change if UConn makes a run because they're 31st. So how do you feel?
I think they can pass the first round depending on their matchup. The matchup is everything. I just think they don't, like we said before, there's just that they're missing. With Colin Gillespie, they were missing something. Mm-hmm. And without him, who was like basically their senior leader, scorer, they're still missing some things. Do I think more can come out there and be a little bit more aggressive while when the tournament's going on? Maybe help them out, get past the first round? It's very possible. I mean, Villanova is still a good team. They're not the exact same team without Colin Gillespie. And, I mean, I can easily see them losing the first round as well. I mean, I really feel like it's the matchup. If they're playing against a team that they're just regardless like better than, depending on what the committee puts in front of them, I can see them going to the second round. But if they play a top 30 team, I don't know.
Yeah, Joe makes a really good point in that this is the first time in forever that Villanova has entered the tourney with absolutely no expectations. No one thinks they're going. And there is a little bit of a freeing element to that when you can play that way. You can play free. You don't have to worry about the stress of being a number one seed or trying to carry that with you. The only problem is, like, for me, the whole reason to be intrigued by Villanova is because I thought they were going to be a juggernaut offensively. I thought they had some very real issues on the defensive end with preventing dribble penetration and rim protection stuff. They tried to do all of like the kind of typical switching stuff that they do. And I don't think that they were quite as good as it in the past as they were in the past. And it just kind of, it never really clicked to the level that you needed to click to be able to be a top three to top five kind of a team. But it was good enough for them to be a top 15 team. But the problem is right now without Gillespie, like, they're not that juggernaut offensively. They don't have their point guard. They don't have their playmaker. They don't have their guy that they give the ball to down the stretch. So combine that with like Justin Moore, maybe I don't know. Maybe he's like maybe we'll, back. Yeah. So it's just, it is what it is, man. And you know, hopefully, what happens here is that, you know, Justin Moore can kind of get healthy and get rested up. Like, he's got what I think they won't play until like Saturday or Sunday. So he's got basically 10 or 11 days to kind of get healthy. And if he can do that, then we will see. All right. Jackson says, thoughts on Oklahoma State being a 3 seed? Yeah. Yeah, very much so. I think their resume is a lot more impressive than people realize because their metrics are low, right? Like, so they're 30th in the net right now. I believe they're in that same range in KenPom. But if I'm looking at the number right now, like if RPI was still a thing, they'd be 7th in RPI because what they do is they do nothing but win close games. And the net and KenPom, those metrics factor in scoring margin. Even if it's not explicitly, then it's implicitly because of its efficiency margin stuff. And like Oklahoma State's not I don't think they've blown anybody out all season long.
Nah.
All they do is just win close games. Now, they have 9 quadrant one wins. 9. I'm going to put that into context for you, Deshaun. So they are, I believe, the only team in the country that has exactly 9 quadrant one wins. There's only one team that has 10, and that's Illinois.
Illinois has what it says.
Has 8 quadrant one wins. Baylor has 8. Michigan has 8. Iowa has 8. Alabama has 8. Ohio State has, or I'm sorry, they all have 7. And then Oklahoma State, after beating West Virginia today, has 9. 9 quadrant one wins. But they're just dragged down because they don't blow anybody out. They win close games. And they have those 2 losses to TCU, which make no fucking sense. So I think, look, if they had swept TCU instead of losing those 2 games, we would be having a very real conversation about them being a possible number one seed.
I feel like they'd probably be a 2. Like, they'd be in the top 8 if they didn't lose those possibly to TCU. Those are bad losses. And look, but looking at the teams behind them, there's no reason why they're not going to be a 3 seed.
Yeah. And I still think, let's say that they beat Baylor tomorrow, right, in the semifinals of the Big 12 tournament. And then they get to the title game. And they take on either Kansas, Texas, or Texas Tech. You win those 2 games, and you could, like, all of a sudden you have 11 quadrant one wins. You add a win over the number one or number 2 team, and you add another win over another top 15 team. Like, all of a sudden we're having a conversation about Oklahoma State, 2 seed. Like, legitimately, I think that they could potentially be a 2 seed if they win the Big 12 tournament. So
they went out. They're definitely – that's a solid 2 seed. You beat the number, 2 team in the country and then also Kansas or Texas, either way. I probably think it's going to be Kansas. You're a 2 seed. That's just – you went through the gauntlet to get it.
Yep. All right, here we go. From Matthew Page, does Syracuse pass the eye test for you? Do you think Syracuse should be in the NCAA tournament?
I think they can be in the tournament. I feel like if they get in the tournament, they'll be a problem. I mean, that's zone, bro. Like, it's just like there's only so much like teams can do to, like, you can prep your zone the best way you can, but it doesn't really matter. It's not the same until you're like face to face with it. So, do I think like Jim Boeheim and what's his guy's name? His young boy's name. The nickname. For a little, buddy can get his buckets. Do I think they can get in a tournament? I think so. It was between them and Duke, right? They were on the bubble, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't between them, but they were all teams that were on the bubble. So
it's very possible for Syracuse to make the
tournament. Yeah, I'm bringing up the resume right now. One thing that was weird is that they only played. They didn't really play Alan Griffin today. Which didn't make sense. They played gave a lot of minutes to Robert Braswell, and I always want to say, like, they should play Kadari Richmond more, but I don't want Jim Boeheim yelling at me about how tall I am, so I'm not going to say anything about that. They have a weird, weird resume. Yeah, you know what I'm referring to, right? You don't know that's the reference to? Jim Boeheim in a press conference, a reporter from The Athletic questioned him about something about why he wasn't playing a guy, and he was like, I've only been doing this for 45 years. You're 5'2" and never played basketball. How could you know what you're talking about?
I'm never going to cross Jim Boeheim because, you know, he's done a lot for me. He's a good guy. So,
a lot of people think that Syracuse is a lock to get in. I think that it is. It's close. We'll see. Like, their resume is not as strong as I think people are giving it credit for. And odd one win. And that is at North Carolina State, who's 72nd in the net. Now, they beat North Carolina, Carolina at home. They beat Clemson at home. They beat Virginia Tech. And they have two other wins over North Carolina State. But they also lost at home to Pitt, which is a quad three loss. Like, they don't – they really, really don't have as good of a resume as I think people are giving them credit for. Their metrics do look good, though. So, we'll see. I mean, it's going to be a sweat. My gut says that they'll probably end up one of the teams that is in the in one of the playing games. But
which is like when they're a playing game, it's just what's the purpose of even being a one seed? It's like you got to go up against Syracuse and the I don't want to call it a gimmick, but it's like more or less like you have to go against up against Syracuse in this zone that's done great things in the past and jam teams up. Like it's they're gonna play the entire game. So as opposed to you know maybe a team that may be smaller or from a smaller conference that. Usually that just played themselves in the tournament, you have to play against them. Instead, you play against Syracuse, who somewhat plays against good competition throughout the year.
Yeah. All right. What else you got from today? You were you impressed by North Carolina coming back and winning this game?
Yeah, I didn't think they were. I mean, honestly, I thought Virginia Tech was like toughing them earlier in the game, man. It got wherever they wanted to get on the floor. Coach Young, we've already talked about how much of a how great of a job he's done this year with that group. Not great, but I mean it's better than expected. And I didn't expect Roy Williams and the guys to get through today. But Caleb Love was making shots early. Late in the first half and carried over in the second half. And I mean, they ended up snagging the win. I literally shocked me because I thought that Virginia Tech kind of like. I wouldn't want to use the word punk them, but they were like very physical with them early on. It looked like they had their way with them. They had the yeah. Something
misled them. It very much looked like the kind of situation where Virginia Tech only played two games in the last month because of the COVID pauses, and and came out and kind of you know got tired by the end. Like that's what happens. You come out and your adrenaline's pumping and you're great, and then all of a sudden you kind of wear down a little bit. All right.
I did not want to watch Florida State versus Virginia Tech. Though. I felt like that would have been like almost I don't want to say a mirror match, but like I wanted to see like some type of style clash. I kind of feel like
yeah, it's too hard. The colors. We got Maryland and Michigan State out. That's the next question. I think that Maryland like locked up their bid. I thought that they were okay heading into this game either way. And I think that they're probably now played their way out of the playing game conversation. I mean, they're 15-12 overall. They have a lot of really, really good wins. If it wasn't for those two losses to Northwestern and to Penn State, like we wouldn't even be having this conversation. Five quad one wins. They're 5-9 against the top quadrant. They are 8-12 against the top two quadrants. Like they've done some really good things. They won at Illinois.
They played today?
Yeah, they played.
I missed that game.
They played Michigan State at 11:30. Blew them out, spacked them. Yeah, so Michigan State is a little bit more difficult to figure out and to kind of read the tea leaves on because their computer numbers are really bad. Like they're 67th in the net, whereas Maryland is 34th. And I don't think that's going to be the be-all or end-all, but I do think that's something that is going to be taken into consideration. And look, so they beat Michigan, they beat Illinois, and they beat Ohio State all at home. They played 7 games against top 10 teams, and they went 3-4 in those games. They have 5 quadrant one wins, and they are 9-12 against the top two quadrants. Like that is probably going to be good enough to get you in.
Yeah, they're going to get in. I was going to say, when you said they were 3-4 against those teams, I thought they were going to be fine.
Like I've seen they're worse. I mean, they played 16 games against quadrant one opponents and they won 5 of them. They won 3 games against top 10 teams.
Yeah, they're going to be.
I would not be surprised if they ended up like kind of in that playing game range. But really? At the same time, like the teams that are kind of on the bubble right now are like Drake, who played one game against a team that was a quadrant one opponent or played one quadrant one opponent. They played Loyola twice. You have like Utah State, who is like has a resume nowhere near as good as this. Colorado State, nowhere near as good as this. So I think that Michigan State is probably going to end up on the right side of the bubble when it's all said and done. All right, Day. You got anything else from today? Anything?
I was super impressed with Creighton. I talked about Creighton earlier. I'm super impressed with how Creighton came out and bounced back. You know, it's so easy to fall, like when to fall into the negative when all that shit's going on, and the players went out there and figured out a way to win in spite of all that shit going on. So Creighton, Kansas's game was awesome. I enjoyed that game today too. So like, it was a lot of games, honestly.
Kansas won in pretty impressive fashion against a really good team on a night when they did not have David McCormick.
Yep. And if you don't have your number one go-to guy, it's tough to usually get going. But Kansas figured out a way. What did you text me during the game? You're like,
I texted you. David McCormick is out, and Kansas plays their best half of the season with like 17 of the eye emojis.
I immediately changed. I'm like, I'm missing this right now. I'm watching Creighton's game. I was like, I got to watch this Kansas game. Man, Abaji, bro, those three, I think it was like three or four threes in a row. Insane. All corner threes.
Yep.
Help them get that distance to end up closing the game out. So
yeah. I mean they're good, man. They're good. They're not gonna beat themselves. That's what it's gonna come down to with Kansas. They're not gonna beat themselves.
Which is funny. Like I expected that in the very beginning of the year when they were downplayed early in the year because of, you know, what they didn't have. And I felt Bill Self would, he usually figures it out. Mm-hmm. So there you have it.
He did. All right, Day. This was fun, man. Next time we talk to you guys, it's going to be Sunday night. We're going to do a live stream at 9 p.m. breaking down the bracket. We're going to go through region by region and talk about it all. I'm going to give you all the right takes. If you want to pick against Day, that's how you know that you're going to end up winning your bracket. False. So until Sunday, everybody, I'm glad we made it through. We made it through a year of lockdown. We made it through a year of COVID. I hope everybody's doing well. Everybody stay safe. We're almost out of this thing. Give it another month. And hopefully we can all have a great summer where we do nothing but party and drink and go outside and just get hammered with everybody that we love and miss and haven't seen in so long. So, Day, as soon as that happens, man, we're gonna get the Butlers and the Dawsons. We're gonna have a big cookout. We're gonna make it happen. We're gonna bring you back up to the Dirty Jurors.
Yeah, it's been a while. I need to go back to my stomping grounds. It's been some time.